This call is being recorded.
Okie dokie. Finally, took us some time just to make this another call happen. Just wondering, any volunteers for scribing?
I'm not very good at it.
me neither. Probably Thomas is as well, because English is not our native language anyway. Thomas did scribing last time. Okay, I can give it a try. Okay, just make me.
But Thomas is missing completely now, is he?
Yeah, I can see someone is viewing, an unknown person, but probably it's him.
Okay.
Let me just make a note that I'm scribing. Okay, he knows the agenda. He'll join us. Okay, so the first topic would be discuss open pull requests. There are quite a few of them.
Yeah. I would like to start with collaboration templates.
Yes.
It more or less says how we proceed anyway.
Yeah, and actually, I believe it's very close to its end.
Yeah.
But actually, this is Thomas' work, so.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anything left that stops us from merging this and applying to these.
Good question.
But they are fixed, I think.
I've just pasted the link to this pull request. Okay, from what I can see, there are several minor changes to wording, typos, etc., etc. Now I understand how these templates will be used, so without any specific action that would be required by a contributor.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, this one is good to go.
Yeah.
I think I approved this one. I do not see any outstanding comments that are not resolved.
So who is able to approve or disapprove those pull requests? Only you or any member of the organization?
Any reviewer assigned.
No one is
assigned. I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Ah, now we can hear you. Great.
Way better. Yeah. Okay, Tomasz, we just started with the collaboration templates, pull request 188. From my perspective, this one is good to go. I'm not sure, are there any unresolved changes, requests, etc.?
No, I think all comments have been addressed, so this one's good to go. And so far, at the moment...
I think I've approved this one. But I do not see any hint of this.
There's just comments, but then you are the only one who can... merge, I think.
Okay, yes, so, I can merge, but I just do not see whether, because we are both reviewers, and I remember I did hit approve or something like this, but I did not see any trace of this.
No, I think it was another one. This one's not approved. I mean, approval is not formally required.
Anyway, okay. Unless there are any requirements for this pull request, I'm fine with merging this one. This one is quite technical, so it does not touch the specification directly, but the way we will collaborate with Hydra.
Yep. So if we are fine with this one, then go ahead, please. Sure.
Okay. Let me just.
Thank you.
Okay, let me just merge this pull request now. Okay.
Yeah, great.
Great, we're done with this one. It was quick. Okay, so there are quite a few. I think the most... okay, let me just take a quick look. API documentation limitations, support for describing headers. I think... Can we just start with this one? Uh, 185, because I believe there are also no unresolved issues.
I see that this one has a conflict, so that this one has to be resolved.
Yes, but are there any, I don't know, conceptual changes, requirements, or are we okay with this approach? Maybe it's not a perfect one, but we need to start with something.
I'm not sure what was my latest standing about that. I have to just take a quick look.
Okay, so
I remember this is the one with the header, the templates thing.
I've retracted these features, so for now it should Haido vocabulary should allow you just to describe expected and returned header names just like this as a string.
Just which headers are expected. So for example, authorization header is expected, but there's no further specification how this header should look like, if it's basic authentication or anything else.
Yes. So this is very, very simple approach, very naive, but still gives some value to the vocabulary itself.
Are you sure we're looking at 185?
185.
Because I do remember seeing what you just said, but 185 is the one with the abstract template, I think.
No. Which that's the pull for describing headers. Pull request 185.
No, it did have this feature, but I think if I've retracted these changes, it should be there.
Did you not submit a new pull request?
No, I don't think so. Indeed, there was another one related to... let me just take a quick look on the modified files. Oh, this one does not have this abstract template. Because there was indeed a moment where there was such a construct, but I've retracted whole thing, and these are just pure returns header, expects header, unless there is some naming requirements for these two. There are no other constructs introduced.
I'm just wondering why the diff in GitHub is so extremely large. It seems to change the whole file.
Okay, sorry, my bad. I get it. I think I clicked one of the comments and I was actually looking at the incomplete change set.
Very hidden, Tomek.
Pardon?
There was some noise while you were talking, so I did not understand you.
Right. What Angela was saying, the merge messed up the core JSONLD file. Now it just shows it all red, all green.
Okay. Yes, I can see this one. Not sure what I can do about this.
I'm just doing a quick diff by my IDE to see what really changed. Okay, so it just added returns header and expects header. Two lines, as I said.
Yeah, looks like it changed on line endings.
Does IRC support some sort of code formatting?
Okay, so maybe it's the line endings. Okay, let me just take a quick look after the call. What's going on with the line endings? Because I do not recall changing anything.
No, but it just did the. Is it? Oh no, it didn't. So yeah, whatever. But it looks like you merged from GitHub itself. Probably screwed up the inline endings. It's best if you. So you'll have. It's best if you. We can agree to merge this one, I suppose, and then. Later, let's make this an action item to fix this change. The diff.
What happened to the line ending? How do you see that? I can't see anything like that.
Well, when you're looking on GitHub, you can click diff settings and just for now hide white space changes.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But of course, I'd rather we didn't mess it, don't mess it up completely. So let's take it offline, and Carol will fix it.
But if it's only the white space, then we can see what really changed. And that's okay. It's not a big change, but it might be helpful.
Yeah. So the changes, like you said, it's adding returns header and expects header. Not much, but let's make it look nice so that it's clear what happened, and then we can merge it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I'll just take a quick look because I'm not sure what actually did happen here.
Just revert the file to master, and then apply the changes again, and that's it.
Probably. Okay. Anyway. I expect you guys just later just make this pull request go emerge or just make it obsolete because it's quite some time. Okay, and another one. I think I've skipped the 186 and let me just focus on 187, which is detailed specification for express returns and strawberry type collections. This is the one that introduces this specifies construct that actually Angelo mentioned in one of the other pull requests.
It was my proposal. Speak to the end, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So, in general, the last conversation was about using Shackle to express constraints, and which I opposed. So,
yeah, but I didn't find the time to answer that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also the specifiers property was my proposal or my idea in the first place. After taking a look at Shackle, yeah, I thought why should we reinvent the wheel when there is already some vocabulary to express constraints like that? Of course, yeah. I'm not sure how to proceed with this because I understand that you don't want to commit Hydra to one specific solution in one on the one hand, but on the other hand, what can we do else? So if we invent another vocabulary or Hydra properties that specify the same, so there will only be more confusion. Then there will be owl and chuckle and checks and Hydra to express something like that. So what's our goal with it?
So that's what I was proposing before. I mean, I agree. Let's allow shackle in a way, but probably shackle shouldn't be the core vocabulary. So we need. If you, it's hard to really tell by the snippet.
Wait. I can't understand you talking while Carol is typing. So.
Carol,
for mute.
I'll just mute Carol.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I think we should be targeting in general, in this and in other cases, is to have a framework for extensions. I've been saying that in on a few occasions. So we do already have a vocabulary in Hydra Core for describing the shapes, the classes, and their properties. And so it's at this stage, I'd rather we didn't really, we don't really break what we currently have. But if we can reuse that vocabulary, maybe adjust if we have to, and then optionally make add support for shackle on top of that, on top of a common I don't know how we call it, like a common base vocabulary, if you will. Because so I cannot really tell how incompatible your snippets are with the current way of defining the classes. So maybe maybe you could do like a comparison document where we say that, okay, on one side, this is how you can do stuff with Hydra Core, and then we propose a shackle way for the same. Mm-hmm. And then we'll work out the common ground which we need in Hydra Core so that we can pull shackle off like parallel.
Yeah, might be a solution. What I also rediscovered today is within the restbox with Hydra example that's on the w3.org wiki, there is another way of using Hydra expects, I think. In the current spec, it only allows to tell what types are expected, but the usage in this example is different to that. It actually does use something like supported property in there as well.
Can you pick up the link?
Yeah. So it says Hydra expects, and then has a resource within which says just type product, Hydra supported property or Hydra property, and it defines what properties are expected there in this case. Perhaps we could do it this way, so we don't need a specifies property.
So maybe you can point to a specific bullet point section in the document.
I will try. I have one. This one.
Okay, that's for.
And there is a Hydra collection with an Hydra operation and Hydra expects.
I can see that. It just creates anonymous objects with the Hydra supported property.
Yeah.
It does uses Hydra construct. I'm just wondering. Because this supported property seems to be a wrapper around just a property, just to connect the property with the Hydra vocabulary. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm wondering about several constructs in this example, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who came up with this, and I don't think it's spec conform.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just I just wondered and saw that there are different usages of Hydra expects and returns.
Please note that in this pull request there are only two terms introduced, and one is not actually related to constraints. It's a media type, let's say another thing, and the other term introduced is a Hydra specifies, which is a sub-property of the Hydra manages is sub-property of Hydra specifies. So actually all the constructs are almost there. I just loosened the semantic because the Hydra manages is bound to collection. I just didn't want it to be bound so strictly. So the constructs are already there. I did not introduce anything specific, anything new. So the constraint is created the same way as for Hydra managers by using Hydra subject, object, etc.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. That's why I also mentioned that regarding to Shuckle, it might be useful to support Shuckle for managers as well, because it's basically the same. I'm not sure how we should proceed with it, or if it's really necessary to proceed and enhance the specification here at the moment. Because, perhaps we should first think about use cases. Where would we need such a specification? Do we need it? How could clients profit by it?
The only thing that the client could benefit is from it just because currently it cannot express that the expected resource is, for instance, a Word document. Currently, it is not possible to express such a requirement.
This is useful with respect to the media type for non-RDF resources.
Yes, but in this pull request, there is an example that uses an expects construct with property RDF type and objects. Not this one. And that uses specifies a media type.
Specify the media type, yes.
Yes, it's line 1063 on the index.html.
The other one is specifies with a collection specific type. Mm-hmm. I find it really hard to read. So we have now a specifies with a property and object, and the property of the specifies is actually a manager's property, which has an object and a property again. So it's some recursion in there, some kind of recursion.
For collections, there was, I think actually I mentioned this in the pull request, that it feels somehow unnatural.
Yeah, I don't really like it.
Me neither.
And I'm not sure if it's really needed. So I actually tend to not introduce something like that at all for now. Perhaps we need a different solution for the media type and non-RDF resources then. And I would like it more if we just go for the rest, for the more generic stuff, go the other way as we defined in the collaboration template and the contribution file, that we first start with defining use cases and examples in the cookbook, because it feels like we are enhancing the spec here for a very academic case, which might not be that relevant.
Well, I guess I half agree with. So I agree with the former, although I don't really think this is academic. But true enough, it may not be driven by real need. Although, but that doesn't mean it's not. It's really academic.
Yeah, it describing... doesn't need to be academic. I won't say it definitely, but to prove that it's not, we should start with a real world example to show, okay, this is a case it could help.
Okay, let me conclude this. Angela would like to have some more discussion, some more examples, some more studies on this topic of constraints. And for the media type and non-RDF resources, you would go with something simpler. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with this. So there is pull request 186 that touches the same thing, the media types. This is a different approach than the initial one that I've introduced. Way simpler. So maybe this one is the correct one. I think we won't resolve this today and now, so let us just get back to GitHub and then just make some notes on the other approach. Let me just pass details. This is a more conservative approach. You just introduce the same predicate and just introduce some new types that are compliant with Hydra itself, but allows the client to describe the resource that has a media type rather than RDF type concept.
So how would I use this one?
In place, for this. When you expect something, you would normally put expects some ERIE class, and now you would just create a anonymous object with media type description. That's it. Because I did not add the documentation text here, so let me just extend this pull request with some description in the index.html. Okay, so action, it will be action for me.
But shouldn't we here as well start with a cookbook example?
Okay.
And I wonder if this isn't similar to what we did with the headers. Couldn't we just add a property expects media type, returns media type to be explicit?
I don't get it.
But perhaps we should, like with the headers. With the headers, we added an expects headers and returns headers property.
Yep.
I just wonder if it here isn't or shouldn't be some property like expects media type. For example, even if you have RDF resources, you could say expects application RDF XML or expects JSON LD or whatever.
I understand this one. I was just thinking about this. The issue is, what if both predicates are there and this is not an RDF resource? So, for instance, you get expects, I don't know, image, and expects media type JPEG, image slash JPEG. What does it mean?
If you have both a media type that's non-RDF and an expectation that is an RDF class, you mean?
Yeah, for instance. Yeah. What does it mean? The JPEG needs to have some RDF payload? I don't know. This is tricky.
I don't know. Perhaps it's... you always can define bullshit in your API specification. And no one stops you from that. But still,
you need to create an API that... restricts you from doing so as much as possible.
Yeah.
We can just make some notes.
Sorry, guys. I'm having issues with my Wi-Fi. What did I miss?
When did we lose you?
Shortly after I said about the thing about being academic or not.
Okay, we are now in pull request 186 because the conclusion for now was we stop or we need to discuss the specifies thing more. And we need perhaps a simple solution for the media type issue.
And yeah.
Let us back to the specific media type pull request 186.
And Angelo introduced an idea of, for instance, having a predicate expects media type. And I've just typed an example on IRC. What in case the... There are, for instance, expects media type image JPEG and expects schema.org. What would it mean for a client? What is actually expected? How to describe this, how to write the specification in such a case?
Yeah, I would understand that the payload that is sent is a JPEG actually, but it's semantically equivalent to a schema image.
What about a case where would you like to obtain, let's say, metadata about this image? So, for instance, imagine a situation when one URI, when requested with image JPEG, returns an image JPEG, and when requested with, I don't know, application JSON plus LD, returns its metadata.
Yeah.
Is it still compliant? Case.
Yeah, you could describe two operations with two different media types for the same resource.
Okay. Sounds interesting.
I don't think that's really that's what's happening. We're talking about content negotiations. So mm-hmm. any research that you have, that's the same operation. That's just a gut operation. But also, it's a completely different. I don't think we should be mixing expects and returns because both operate slightly differently. But now that we're talking about this, that opportunity, for me, this is just it's more of okay. There's a get operation on resource, and just like you when content negotiating, you can then in the response add links to the alternative representation. So here we could add an optional predicate saying that okay, you can get this resource and it supports these and the certain media times to be negotiated for. But
various media types has conceptually completely different let's say knowledge. Because when you
expect
RDF description, you will receive some metadata, and when you expect an image, you will actually get that image. So these are very, very different things.
So what?
So the question is, it okay to provide these very different data under the same content negotiable resource? Is it conceptually valid approach?
Well, that's a good question. I wondered about it years ago, actually.
Because these are not the same things. The image and the description of an image, these are very different things.
Yeah, the metadata would be some kind of document text or RDF document, but the image is a different resource.
Exactly.
I don't think this is for Hydra to decide. I don't think it's for us to be concerned with. We can provide a means. I suppose you could have a resource which is only ever an image. It never really gives you the RDF payload, RDF representation, and you can specify that. Okay, this one has a get operation, and it can give you image JPEG, or it can give you image whatever, and or maybe it could even give you a text document like an OCR processing thing. None of which will be actual RDF, and I think that's just fine. What we can do is just make it possible to describe, and then if the clients encounter a description saying that you can get this resource and get these representations, if the client understands the media type, I suppose they should be able to know what to expect. Pun not intended.
I'm just thinking whether we should create a vocabulary that allows Frankensteins.
What's Frankenstein about it? Resources can have different representations, and
not the same resources. The document describing an image and the image itself are completely separate resources. And actually, the image can have an embedded RDF document within. For instance, JPEG allows that.
Very well, so be it. So that's even better. But again, this is not for you to decide. If I want to have an API where the same resource can be negotiated for RDF or image, I should be able to describe that. And Hydra should have no opinion if it's a good API or not.
Yes, that's fine. But this hypothetical situation where the description provides both, let's say, expects media type and expects. What would be the meaning of such a construct?
Well, depends how you model it. I don't think.
Yeah, as I said before, I would understand that the operation returns the specified media type, but what the meaning of the resource is what the expects says. For example, it means that the resource is an image or is a person or whatever, but it might be a different media type. For example, you could also have some JSON schema or a proprietary JSON format that you return, a proprietary JSON media type, but you could still say, although this is not a non-RDF media type, the semantic is that it is a schema person.
So the logic is this image is, for instance, schema image, and that's it. No more nor less.
Yes, like it is now. So for now, we have only this opportunity. We could say it's a schema image, but mm-hmm. we can't specify if it's a JPEG or a GIF or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds fair.
But for example, you could also have a schema person. And that could mean, so you could, for now, we would expect some RDF to be delivered, but you could also have a textual or HTML media type that is returned, but it's still a schema person by defining as the semantics of it.
Okay, but hold on. What you say is fine for returns. What expects indeed is somehow slightly different, because you actually have to put something into the request's body.
Yeah, of course. So if you expect a schema person and say the expected media type is HTML, yeah, you need out-of-band information to know what HTML mm-hmm. you should post. No, nobody could know it, but that's a problem of the API in general. If they don't, if they are not hypermedia or linked data APIs.
Good lord, did I lose it again?
Yeah, you were gone for some minutes.
Ah, what a night today.
Maybe let's do this. I create again a cookbook example description. I think I'll close this pull request unresolved. I can always reopen it once we agree on the next steps.
Yeah, let's close it and go the cookbook way and see how it mm-hmm. Develops.
Okay. So I'll start the cookbook with this approach that you've mentioned. So the expects and expects media type returns and returns media type. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what will happen. Okay. It would be another action point for me. Damn, too much. Close pull request. Let me just mute myself. Okay. I think that's enough for the pull request for today. Okay, let me just... Can we move on to another topic?
Well, so that would be the Twitter thing?
Yeah, the Twitter thingy. Do I have to create a Twitter account?
It depends on how we want to proceed with it. So for now, who has access to it? Marcus or
Yeah, Marcus and me.
So you are you able to answer direct messages and write in the name of the account? Or?
I don't think I can do. I don't think I can do direct messages. I think. Okay. I think I can only monitor tweets and reply in the name of the handle.
Okay.
Because I'm only added to what's it called? Tweetbox.
Okay, but doesn't that mean you have access to the account and could use it as the original owner?
Oh, hold on. Maybe actually I can also do direct messages with Tweetbox. Yeah, I can tweet and also reply to direct messages.
Okay, so are you fine with it? Do you want to take care of the account or do you want some help with it?
I'm fine. I mean, at the moment there is not much activity, so so yeah. The only thing that I did mention earlier would be because Tweetbox is not really good at notifying about any activity. It's only if I actually go to the Tweetbox and see if there's anything new.
The credentials of the account, the password, or
no? Like I say, it's my with tweet. That's what it's called, Tweetbox. Tweet deck. Okay. So it's like an app which gives me indirect access.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus added me to Tweet Deck.
Okay.
So that I can post on behalf of the account, but I cannot really log in as the account.
Yeah, but perhaps since Marcus stepped back, he should hand over the account credentials to Paul so that it's in the hand of the head.
Actually, Marcus is quite reluctant in giving away anything in his control.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he stepped back and he should.
It's complicated.
Listen, feel free to reach out to him and ask. But this is just as good. I mean, this does not have any apparent limitation. Only one is that there is no instant notification. So my only idea, like I said somewhere on the chat, on Slack, would have been to monitor this with Zapier. Mm-hmm. and get the we can get email notification when any tweets happen on the HydroCG handle, or we can have it posted to Slack so that we can just see it. And
yeah,
I guess that's
have it more visible in any way.
Yeah, sure. Well, I can do it. I created a Zapier account exclusive for HydroCG, so I can set it up with forwarding. I don't know, either it can be the HydroCG channel or maybe like a Hydra notification channel so that doesn't spam people who don't want to really listen to that, but the handful of us will join that channel so that we see that there's stuff going on.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with the Hydra channel. There's not so much going on there, but yeah, as you like.
Oh, maybe not Hydra, but there's also the HydroCG channel, right? I think you're in this one too.
Oh, is there another? Oh no, I'm not in HydroCD. I'm joined there.
Yeah, I created that one to discuss like that precise kind of stuff, so, like, you know, about running the group itself and not really about Hydra, because the other one is,
yeah,
I guess, also kind of quiet, but more for the community, and this one for the group.
Yeah, nice.
I see. Okay, you joined now, yeah. Okay, I'm Carol. So you can add this to for me as an action item to improve
what
that
would be the action. What would be the action item?
Just actually, how would you call it? Just hook up Slack with the Hydra Twitter account.
Yeah.
Okay. Done. Okay. Can we proceed to the last topic? We're quite close to the end.
Okay, perhaps just wait a minute to explain what I meant with it, and we could think about it, and we can discuss it in the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that we lack of examples. We don't have a real example API anymore. The event API is years old and doesn't follow the latest specification at this point and the latest practices, I think. And I would like to see a new example API and as well example client emerge, client application, not a generic client like Heracles, but some app that makes use of the example API.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've started creating, let's say, brand new console, Hydra console like application some time ago. It takes quite a slow. I just don't have too much time for this, but maybe I'll try to focus on it more. What I've got now, I cannot share the screen because I'm using Firefox and Uber requires me to use a Chrome. But what I've got now, I've got a very simple application that allows you to paste some URL and it will try to discover an entry point and an API documentation. And for now, it just displays discovered supported classes. And I'm taking an append to use to display entry point links. So this is what I've got now. And of course, this is using the Heracles TS client under the hood. But it's an Angular 4 application.
Angular 4, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
We have generic consoles again?
Okay, maybe not yet, but I'm working on it to have a generic Hydra console sooner or later. Just the thing that I have just a little time. I can spare about 1 or 2 hours a day, and there are just plenty of things that I need to take care of with Hydra.
Well, it feels like we'll be sorry to cut you off again. Looks like we're going to get fragmenting stuff efforts again, but maybe that's good. But there's a lot to be done, and what I think we also are missing is examples for backend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The thing is. For instance, because when I started working with this Hydra console-like application, for instance, I've reached a place that is not very simple to resolve on which links should be displayed, for instance, in such an application.
Well, that's good. Precisely. Yeah. So this is what we need. This is the stuff you should be creating issues for, that you're trying to implement crap and actually... I had the same issue I had a precise same issue. And I did somehow decide to resolve it, and we can see if instead of working on invented stuff, whatever.
Why I brought this up, we should focus on real examples, real APIs. And it would be great to have just an API that has every single use case we have in the cookbook. There's an example how to do it in this API to see how it looks in real life, and to have a client application that makes use of exactly this, like paging and expects and returns and all the stuff we discuss here in theory. We have an example API and some resource in that API that shows this in practice.
Yeah, well, for that, like I say, there is, I think, a shortage of backend support also. The only one that boasts full Hydra support is API platform. That's Symfony, PHP stuff, right? I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Yes, you mean the support in the sense of libraries and frameworks help you generate Hydra APIs?
Yes, mm-hmm. unless you mean it just to, I don't know.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean just not a specific technology like PHP or Java or so. I just want an example API that shows you how your JSON LD responses should look like. So how no matter how you are generating them in the end.
So it would be as simple as handcrafted JSON LD documents.
Exactly. For example, I can have a link here. This is the API I'm working on. An example API for screening events, cinema screening events. And I also have a front end for that, which makes use of this API. It's not a generic client, but a domain-specific client that allows you to show the screening events that are exposed by this Hydra API. I don't have the problem to decide how shall I display the collections and operations and so on, like you have in the generic client, but I'm very specific to the domain I support here.
Interesting. I was going to say, so this should work in a generic client just as well, I suppose, right? Maybe
it
with limitations.
As well, but it won't look like as good as this.
No, definitely. I mean, weirdly enough, this actually breaks in my client. It actually says, could not expand input before serialization to RDF. So, are you sure that JSON LD is correct? We could have a call next week that devoted only to discussing such example API. So this is something that you are working on just as an example, not.
Example. It's not what I mean. I don't want to say use this API as a Hydra example. It's just what I'm working on now, why I'm using Hydra or why how I approach Hydra myself. But I think we need any API like that, but not only, but more complex with every use case every feature that is supported by Hydra should be present in such an API.
Ideally, what we would need, I try to find such examples. There are repositories which reiterate the same idea. So you have an example like the coffee API, and then within that one repository, you get different implementations using different tools. So that Or maybe those could be like an organization and then a repository for each one of them. So one of them could be this blueprint, not to be confused with the blueprint stuff, but I mean like handcrafted JSON. So this is how your API should be, and then implemented with Java, implemented with Symfony, implemented with .NET, maybe different tools. Yeah. If we can, but this is a good idea that we first something like this. We need it. Running examples that you can plug in to a client and see how those requests are being sent and received. So, guys, we're past time. What do you say to the idea that we meet again next week and discuss this and this only?
Yeah, I would like to do it. I cannot guarantee that I find time. I have to check.
I think in 1 week might be just too short for me, for instance, for me. Okay. I'm just wondering, because I've got already 2 action points and this client on my shoulders. Actually, this example that you provided, Angelos, seems quite interesting. I will try to bend my console to make it usable, because currently you are not providing API documentation link anywhere.
I focused on the hypermedia aspect and didn't provide much API documentation because I needed it.
This is not an issue, actually, because this is an interesting approach, and I will try to adopt to this situation.
If you find anything I do wrong or do against the spec or is unexpected in any way, just let me know.
Okay, don't worry for now. We are pioneers here, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay, we're past the time. I think we shall have a call next 2 weeks, but I'm open for ideas on having next week. For me, I think it will be a bit too early, but it's up to you. If there will be the 3 of us or more to conversate on this next week, I'm fine.
We can do it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So on the 8th of April?
Yep, works for me.
Okay.
Okay. Unless there is anything else you would like to talk now, I think we can call it a day. And finish our conference call.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for
talking. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. So have a nice evening, Angelo, Tomek. We'll be in touch.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.